Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. And we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. The number is 844-322-2742. If you're listening overnight on CSN or Sirius XM, you can get your question to us by voicemail at the same number. And we'll be glad to discuss it soon on Basic Gospel. So again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about misconceptions concerning the grace of God. We've spent all month talking about the grace of God, but there's certainly a lot of lies out there pertaining to the grace of God, and a lot of people hold on to these lies thinking it's truth. I've talked about my personal deal, thinking that grace was only necessary for salvation. And then once I'm saved, then I go on to bigger and better things. So grace was kind of an elementary truth, the first grade truth. And once I get through first grade, I never think about it again. And that didn't do me very well. So there's a lot of misconceptions out there. A lot of them are very common. And today's misconception is this, that grace is a thing. And grace is not a thing. Grace is bound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the one full of grace and truth. But if we think about grace as a thing, if we hold to this misconception, if we think about it as a thing or merely a theological concept or a doctrine, we're going to miss Christ. And that's why this is such a costly lie to hold on to, a costly misconception. But we see this a lot, don't we, Andrew, out there in people's belief systems, that grace is just simply a doctrine. It's just a thing in a long list of other things.
Yeah, a ticket to heaven, forgiveness alone. So because I'm forgiven and because I'm heaven bound, then, well, I'll just see what happens. And we have this lifeless view of grace, this grace that amounts to nothing more than mercy and a new destination, as if God is just a travel agent stamping your passport to go to a new place now because you're saved. And, you know, I love Romans 5 to talk about this, because Romans 5 directly links God's grace to Jesus in just an incredible way. Here's verse 15. He says, "How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow?" And then two verses later, he says, there's this provision of grace, and it's through Jesus. And so I love Romans 5 for the way that Paul is saying grace is Jesus, and Jesus is grace. Grace is a person. This is not about merely a new destination. It's not about a new track record. It's not about just getting your sins wiped away. It's not about just God being merciful to us. This is an equipping grace, because we're given the person of Jesus Christ. By grace, you get a new heart. By grace, you're united with Jesus. By grace, you have his presence. By grace, you have his power living in you, power over sin and death. Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. And when we realize that, we stop throwing stones at the message of grace. We stop belittling God's grace. We stop trying to balance God's grace. We stop telling people they could have too much of God's grace. All of that is nonsense. You can't have too much grace because you can't have too much Jesus.
Absolutely. This idea of trying to balance grace, and we always try to balance it with the law. So we have one on one side of the weight, we have the grace of God. The other, we the law, and we try to pile the law on as much as we can so that it's even, it's equal, it's balanced. And you know, the balance of the grace of God is faith in Jesus Christ. That's how God set it up, by grace through faith. So if we're walking by faith in the one who is full of grace and truth, we don't have to worry about anything, do we?
Right. Yeah. You look at people saying, well, I want to balance grace and law. Don't do that. Apart from the law, sin is dead. So how about you just hang on tightly to the grace of God? Then somebody says, well, I want to balance grace and truth. Well, what is the truth? The truth is he puts you under grace. So it's not like grace is a lie, and then we need to balance that lie with a bit of truth. We're talking about grace like it's dangerous, and I would say it's only dangerous to the enemy, Bob, because, I mean, the way that Paul talks about grace in Romans, it's unbelievable. Sin won't master you because you're under grace. Sin is dead under grace. I mean, again and again, he says it different ways, but he's saying that God's grace is trustworthy. And I guess if it were just a ticket to heaven, if it were just some sort of temporary reprieve and then from punishment or some sort of bit of mercy or something, you could say, yeah, that's dangerous because, you know, mercy could be dangerous. Somebody might abuse it. Just a free pass to heaven could be dangerous. Somebody might abuse it. But with God's grace, we're talking about the presence of Christ living inside of us. That's not dangerous. That's necessary. And is somebody going to abuse it? Well, yeah, we could abuse the grace of God, but his presence is never revoked. He's always there counseling and guiding and steering us toward upright living.
Absolutely. So if you're tuned in today and you're thinking about grace as a thing, here's what I want you to always do whenever you hear the word grace in whatever setting that word is used. I want you to start thinking about Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Grace is Jesus Christ. You are saved by him, by his death on the cross, by his resurrection from the dead. Whenever you think or hear the word grace, think of Jesus and stop and say thank you. It will change your life.
Well, the good news continues to come here at Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. We encourage you not to miss this opportunity to call and speak directly with Bob and Andrew on this edition. If you're listening at about 7 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is Basic Gospel Live, and again, the lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Well, Bob and Andrew, as we've been saying, this is a milepost month here at Basic Gospel, as Bob, your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, has reached the 5-year mark and helped readers to discover that the Christian life is not about doing, but about being. It's about resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, as you make your gift to support Basic Gospel this month, we'll send you a copy to say thanks for stepping up and standing with us. But we hope that you'll reach out beyond your realm of influence, literally within your realm of influence, and share the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace message with those who are around you. Buy an extra copy or two to share with friends and coworkers. Just click donate at basicgospel.net and make your gift, and you can request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We would love for you to do that, and then to order multiple copies, visit the special website, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Again, that's simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Well, once again, open lines, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. And in the meantime, guys, a question from a Dallas listener. If we are no longer considered sinners after we accept Christ, why do we still continue to sin?
Yeah, well, isn't that the question of the decade or century? I mean, we need to be asking this one because, you know, on one hand, we're quick to say, all right, I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm blameless, I'm a new creation. And then 5 minutes later, we're getting the nastiest thought presented to us. We're thinking, how could I be thinking this? I'm an eager, sincere child of God. I want to serve the Lord. I want to trust the Lord. I want to live from him. And yet, here's this nasty thought coming right at me. What kind of person am I? Is probably the next thought. You know, if I'm a real Christian, then I, you know, I wouldn't be getting this thought. And you call yourself a child. And so you see the accusation that follows the temptation. And so I guess we need to ask, you know, where is this coming from? Because the 1-2 punch of the enemy, first offering you the thought, and then secondly accusing you of generating it and saying, look what a horrible person you are, that's temptation followed by accusation. And Bob, the scripture tells us that there's really two sources, and I would say they're in cahoots, and we can say that in Texas. They're in cahoots together,
yeah.
And that is, we've got the flesh, which is that stinking thinking, the old way of thinking. That's not your nature. It's not your heart. It's not your identity. It's not who you are. But let's face it, when you are born again, the moment you receive Christ, you don't get a total renovation of all your attitudes. You don't get all new software updates, if you will, in that brain of yours. No, we're learning and we're growing and we're in process. So don't be surprised, first of all, if you get a thought from that old memory bank, that old way of coping, that old way of living, known as the flesh. So that's where it's coming from. And then in Romans 7, Paul reveals this power called sin, and it's a parasite. If you look at Vine's dictionary, it says basically it's a parasite. It's a parasitic force that's going to offer you thoughts. It can operate through the members of your body. And so Paul says, I see this other thing in me, and I'm freaking out about it. I see this other force, this other power. It's no longer I who do it, but sin living in me. I see this principle in me at work. So, guys, I would say we got to know, all right, first, you get a dirty thought. It's not coming from your heart. God gave you a new heart. It's not coming from your spirit. You're the new self. You're united with Christ, so where's it coming from? Well, Paul says, count yourself dead to sin. So sin there is the source. I want to say I'm dead to that source, and I'm dead to that thought, and that thought didn't come from me, and I want nothing to do with it. That is a dead end. That is a dead thought, and that is not who I am.
Yeah, great answer, great insight. Andrew, if folks would like more information on this, we have all kinds of resources through our YouTube channel, through books and that sort of thing. So we encourage you to go to basicgospel.net and find out all about that. But as you said, Andrew, this is really the question of the century, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, I think once we really understand who we are and that these are external sources that are trying to influence us, it makes a huge difference in empowering us to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. So
amen.
Thanks for that great answer. 844-322-2742 is the number to call. If you have a question that you would like to ask today, go ahead and call right now, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, let's go to Frisco, Texas, and talk to Leland listening to us on The Word. Hi, Leland.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going well. What's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. I'm a Christian, you know, and I have two teenage sons who I've raised as Christians, but they recently have come to me questioning their salvation. I've explained clearly to them how you get saved. It's through grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know how. Maybe you could help me answer the question for them. Basically, why are they questioning their salvation? What can I tell them?
Yeah. Well, they're questioning their salvation, first of all, I'd say because they're human, and we all do that. Definitely, we come to a place where we say, well, gosh, I'm not feeling a lot right now. I don't feel so close to God. Some days I don't feel so clean before God, so I've got these fluctuating emotions. I would do this. I mean, the Bible says that we received the Spirit by hearing with faith. So did they hear the gospel? Did they believe the gospel? And then Paul says nobody can say that Jesus is their Lord except by the Spirit of God. So instead of examining their story to death, which the accuser is happy to do, hey, maybe you didn't pray the prayer right. Maybe you didn't say it right. Maybe you didn't do it right. Maybe, we can instead talk to them in present tense and say, now, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? And they say, well, yes, sir, I do. Well, do you believe that he died for your sins? Yes, sir. Do you believe that he rose from the dead? Yes, sir. Do you believe that he did this for you to give you new life? Yes, I do. Has there ever been a time where you called upon the name of the Lord to be saved? And if they say, yes, sir, I did, then you can start there. That's your starting point. And from there, you begin to build in them this assurance that they need. I mean, God said, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come in. He didn't say you're going to feel great about it. He didn't say your emotions will be steady all the time. He didn't say you're going to have a cross and switchblade testimony where you got out of a street gang. He said, if you open the door believing I am who I say I am, if you open that door, I came in. He says, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. So, Leland, I would say we start with the present tense. Who do they believe Jesus is? What do they believe he did for them? And did they ever open their lives to him? And if you're getting yes answers on that, then I would say, wow, that is a great start. And from there, you start building in the assurance they need that God's promises are solid. He will never leave them. And Bob, I would imagine we have a resource we might even be able to send them there that might be encouraging to them.
Absolutely. Leland, what I want to do is put you on hold, and we're going to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And the first several chapters of that book, Leland, I talk about my struggles during my college years and my questioning of my salvation and where that led me and how I came to some answers and really found out the truth about the gospel story and how that truly revolutionized my life. And I think your sons can identify with some of the struggles that I went through back then. And then I have in that one of the chapters is called The Crossover, and it really talks about the nature of salvation. What does it really mean to be saved? So we want to put that in your hands so that you can share that with your sons, and I think it would be a great resource to build this conversation around. So, Leland, let me put you on hold, and we'll send that to you. Okay, my friend?
Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. You hang on.
Yes, indeed. And we encourage all of our listeners to share Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and reach into your own realm of influence. You can order a copy or multiple copies by visiting a special website, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Again, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. And it's a wonderful resource to put into the hands of those closest to you. I want to remind you also, friends, Basic Gospel is streaming live video every day to both Facebook and YouTube, and it's really easy to log on to either one of those and view the program live. Go to basicgospel.net. At the very top of the homepage, you'll see links to both platforms. So do that a minute or two before 3 p.m. Central Time and choose either Facebook or YouTube, and you'll be able to hear and see the Basic Gospel program.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go down to Victoria, Texas, and talk to Barry listening today. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, brother. Hey, other day I was the scripture, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and someone asked me, "What is the joy of the Lord?" I told him it's Jesus. Is that a good answer?
He's always a good answer.
Yeah, you can't go wrong there. Definitely, that's a great answer. But I would say, you know, back in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's a beautiful, encouraging passage. And a lot of people, though, when they think about joy, they think, well, I got to grit my teeth and put on a plastic smile, and I got to try to generate this joy. And you got the televangelist who's on stage saying joy and just really belting it out, giving you this impression that he's feeling electric. And maybe he is for 12 minutes, but he goes home to his own wife and family and kids and life and stress on planet Earth. And so you say, where is the authentic joy? And guys, I would say, really, Jesus has set us up for joy if we would take the time to look deeply into the gospel and inquire, you know, Jesus, what have you done for me? What have you done for me through the cross? Well, I don't have to be fixated on my past anymore. I don't have to be obsessed with my track record and how I've done, because you've taken away that record. You keep no record of wrongs. And as far as my future, well, you've got that solid in your hands. I don't have to freak out about my future. You're with me in the present. So between being righteous and forgiven and secured for the future, I just believe that if we're trying to generate joy, we need to stop that funny business and instead fix our eyes on Jesus and all that he's done for us. And that is what unlocks authentic excitement and joy and passion, because the gospel just naturally inspires that in us, guys. And so it's a great question. I think your answer is great. You start with Jesus and you continue with him and you finish with him, and it's all about what he is to us.
Yeah. And
amen.
Andrew, as you were talking there, it always gets back to source, doesn't it? And
yeah.
Joy is listed in the fruit of the Spirit. So this isn't something that we generate through anything that we do. It's the result of the Spirit's work within us. So it's something that transcends like human happiness. Happiness is really tied to circumstances. Are circumstances going well? Did I shoot a good score on the golf course? I can be happy. If I didn't shoot a good score, I'm not happy. But joy, I can still be joyful, whether I had a good score or a bad score. Why? Because that's something that's generated by the Spirit, something that we bear in our lives. So, getting back to your answer, it is Jesus working that joy in us through his Spirit. And so we can be joyful, count it all joy, as James says, when these trials come upon you. And how can we do that? Well, because this is something that transcends our human circumstances.
Yeah.
Does that help, Barry?
Thanks, guys. Right on, like always. Appreciate y'all. Love you guys.
Well, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
You call anytime.
Thanks, Barry. Well, guys, one of our listeners is having trouble at his church, saying not learning, and some of the teaching is confusing, and loves the people there, but honestly doesn't know what to do. Should he leave the church?
Oh, wow. That's a difficult one, because you have to ask, first of all, have I made meaningful relationships there? Do I have an opportunity to be an encouragement to other people there? Am I allowed to open my mouth and share the good news of the gospel, whether it's in a classroom setting or a home group or meeting in a coffee shop with three or four guys or whatever? Am I, through this congregation, am I having an opportunity to minister to others and bless them with the Word of God? And if the answer to that is no, I'm being shut down, I have no opportunity, well, you factor that in. And then, am I really at a place in my life where I'm counting on that Sunday morning to minister to me? Do I need to hear the gospel week in, week out, and let it be Jesus-centered? And that's what I need, because I'm at a fragile place in my life, and I'm so tired of being discouraged by legalism. I want to be encouraged by the love and grace of God. Well, answering that question factors in. So, I'm not comfortable, guys, just making some sort of blanket statement telling everybody, if you're not satisfied this month or this year with your church, then bolt for the door. I think the enemy could play a role in that, but ultimately we have to say, God, give me wisdom, give me discernment. Is this a Jesus-centered congregation? Is this a Christ-centered message? Is this about the cross and resurrection and God's new covenant grace? Well, if it is, and if I have a chance to encourage others, that is worth a great deal.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. As always, we're always thrilled when you're a part of the broadcast, and we look forward to every Wednesday with you being with us. So thank you, as always, for your keen insights. Bob,
yes, indeed. Thank
take
you,
it
Andrew.
Away.
And friends, thank you for being with us today for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have a question or need scriptural guidance for an issue, a life issue you may be struggling with, well, you can leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. If you're listening overnight on CSN or Sirius XM, this is a great way to get your question to us. Again, 844-322-2742, and we'll be glad to hear from you. You can also post your on-air question under the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. Either way is a great way, and as I said, we would love to hear from you. Remember, too, that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we deeply appreciate your prayers and your gifts that help us keep going day by day and month by month. You can make your gift now or anytime when you visit our website, basicgospel.net. Just click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, basicgospel.net. And to celebrate the fifth anniversary of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, we want to send you a copy to say thanks for standing with us in this ministry of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope you'll make your gift now at basicgospel.net. To order extra copies, we encourage you to visit simplegospelsimplygrace.com and share the good news with those around you. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with big-time thanks to Andrew Farley for being with us as always, I'm Bob Davis inviting you back for another live edition of Basic Gospel, same time tomorrow, same station too. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.